Welcome to Playwright, a podcast about creating and sharing new ways to play. My name is Ryan Heyman, and on this show, for convenience, I go by H.
I'm Ryan Quintel, and I'm not sure if it's for convenience sake because H has changed his name, but I go by Q for maybe for equality.
So currently, I'm preparing to move, and I've got pretty much everything I own of any value, meaning all of my video games and DVDs, in boxes. And so it's becoming more and more difficult to walk around my apartment just trying to, you know, find little passageways in between the boxes. And I'll be happy once I'm on the other end of this all.
I actually have these moments where it's like when you move, you start to realize just how much stuff. And for me, it really kind of stresses me out. I'm like, I need to get rid of stuff.
Yeah, I do realize how many amiibo I have, that's for sure, and how difficult they are to move because I don't want to damage them. I don't want to bend the swords or anything like that. And so, you know, just trying to find a way to safely transport all these little figurines. First world problems.
I have, so in this scenario, may I make a recommendation? If you haven't been to one already, the Container Store is a godsend. Mm. And I found that I was able to get some sort of like weather tight containers, and I pad out. So I will like put down a little row of bubble tape, and then it's like building a lasagna, an amiibo lasagna. Bubble tape, amiibo, bubble tape, amiibo, bubble tape, amiibo, and they end up pretty good.
Wow. All right, maybe I'll have to look into that then.
Amiibo collector moving tips with H&Q.
Gotta bring your collection. All right, let's get to the video game pitches today. Q, what are you going to start us off with?
Today I have for you, I'm a little bit worried that we may have pitched this before, but this happens now on this show.
It's like every week we have this same fear in the back of our mind.
Exactly. I would like to do a Burnout-like crash mode where you are playing a scary character like Stephen King's It. Your Pennywise.
Second week in a row, we got the Stephen King thing going on.
I know. I guess I was more thinking of Pennywise, which who now, thanks to Hollywood, I don't even associate with Stephen King anymore. Mm-hmm. You're playing some sort of scary person. You're going around, and you have these like pre-set up scenes, public scenes, and you are seeing where you can pop out of to create the largest scare chain reaction.
All right, I like this. Okay. We're going to start the clock there. So when you originally pitched Burnout Crash Mode, but with Stephen King's It, I'm like, that sounds exactly like the setup for Twisted Metal, which also features a scary clown as the mascot.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I like that this actually reminds me a lot more of the one of the Xbox 360's most prestigious titles, which is Sneak King. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes. I love Sneak King.
It was like a $5 you could purchase at Burger King restaurants, and they were based on the Burger King commercials in which somebody in a creepy king mask would turn up in unexpected places. And so it's almost kind of like a Metal Gear Solid stealth type game where you're supposed to sneak around until you are like close to somebody by hiding in bushes, hiding behind trees or whatever, and pop out and offer them a hamburger. And the more surprised they are, the more points you get or something like that.
Yeah. Man, it's been so long since I've played sneaking. I'm kind of just in the mode where I have to just believe you.
It's been a while for me as well. I feel like that would be once we inevitably cover that on Kane and Rince, I'll definitely revisit it.
I was thinking about like how the setup would feel like if you are actually like third person controlling, you know, the scary person. And but I would imagine you'd have to have some sort of like otherworldly scary powers to like wedge yourself into an unexpected place, like a container or something. Like you could maybe you actually do, you're more like sneaking and you have to kind of maneuver your semi awkward body around.
I think we have to define a lot of our parameters here. So are we a person who is sneaking around and trying to startle people in like a like regular human dimensions, or are we kind of a supernatural being like that Devolver Digital game that's coming up? What is it, Carry On or something like that? That is all about you playing kind of this amorphous blob monster in this 2D Metroidvania type space and trying to kill people, kind of like The Thing. but pixel art style. So what are we looking at? Are we a monster that can turn into a gas and infiltrate buildings that way? Or are we a human who has to, you know, solid snake his way around to startle people?
I think for me, probably some sort of amorphous thing. Maybe you could even choose your form based on whatever form you've chosen. You can fit into sort of different places. I like, and there could be, you know, do a really simple like Breath of the Wild style system mapping where like, oh, if you are something that kind of looks like really gross food, it'll be extra surprising if you hide in a food container or something. There's like where you shouldn't be bonuses.
So are you playing kind of like a mimic like you would get in the recent Prey game?
Potentially. I was thinking more that like you could maybe very comically just scale the avatar. Like I think a mini Pennywise is potentially just as scary coming out of a cookie jar as a large Pennywise coming out of a subway station.
I feel like we're running up against a space of infinite possibility. And I think if we want to have a productive session here, we got to really start narrowing things down.
Let's cut some scope.
So, you know, even if there's more room to expand later, like let's get to some very defined parameters so that we can at least kind of like work out the basics. So let's say you do have a defined shape. Let's say you are a person who, I mean, this could be like a Hollywood haunted corn maze. Like, you know how they do those down in Hollywood?
Oh, yes, or, yes.
So maybe it's like a fun, scary setup. Maybe you are a ghost in a haunted house, like whatever it is. Like you are kind of a defined thing trying to startle people, but not necessarily like in a scary way, because I feel like if it's a real scary situation, then the end result is like killing somebody, because it's usually like the reason people are scared is because it is an actual dangerous situation.
Right.
But if it's just kind of like fun scary, then you can have that. And I don't know, I feel like there's more possible like end results, if that makes any sense.
I definitely think it would be, you know, you're right that the focus is necessary. I think like when I say burnout crash mode, for me, I want something where like, oh, people are spilling their drinks and bumping into one another. And you're kind of watching the whole thing play out like that. And you get that sort of burnout feeling of like, okay, I'm just going to run it really quickly again from this slightly different angle. So something where I was getting potentially rounds of placement and feedback, like the burnout car, you kind of control it to a point, but you're just sort of aiming it, right?
Yeah.
So is there a way to sort of simulate that?
So there's a couple games I want to reference here. One is called Haunt the House Terror Town, and another is called Ghostmaster. I think Ghostmaster is more relevant, where
Ghostmaster has a better name for sure.
Yeah. So the setup is basically like you control some ghosts in a haunted house, but it's kind of like it kind of has like an isometric perspective, like a theme hospital or something like that. And basically like you are, I think, moving your ghosts between objects, and, you know, they can like rattle the objects or cause them to do scary things in the room. And there's a certain number of like humans in each level, and you have to kind of scare them, and causing them to panic and run into other rooms would kind of heighten the tension. And so it's all about managing a series of scares in a way that kind of escalate. So when somebody runs into another room, having something there to startle them when they're already kind of in an alerted state is would be more effective. So maybe there's something about, you know, I do like grounding this in the perspective of somebody who is kind of on the ground, you know, boots on the ground there, one person, instead of this kind of like overall broad management type of sim. But trying to for scares to be the end goal, kind of like in Monsters Inc, how like they run their society off of screams, and so all they need is the scare. They don't need to kill anybody, they don't need to hurt anyone, they just need the scare. I feel like that's a fun premise.
Yeah, you just like, and I think like it's a great playground to just see. You know, my favorite moments in games like The Sims is when The Sims are kind of running around doing the most absurd things. And so something where, you know, it's very sort of slapstick of, oh, I didn't even, you know, I play through a level and I go, I didn't even know that you could make somebody just run straight to their car and like leave the house or something like that. So maybe we're talking more like a house level type of scare.
This almost seems like the reverse of the thing that Krupa pitched last week.
Right,
where somebody's trying to sneak into the house and you're trying to escape them.
He's like, how scary can we get it? And I'm like, what if it's just kind of silly scary?
So one of the things I like about ghosts is that you're able to like possess objects, move them around the room, or cause like in Grabbed by the Ghoulies, there's a lot of situations where like a mounted like hunting trophy on the wall would like come alive and start snapping at you. And that's kind of fun. Like I like infiltrating objects.
I'm also trying to think about how, like, am I scored based on like people scared or like destruction caused? Like, I love the idea of really, if I can get myself positioned correctly at the right moment, then I can, if I'm inside the refrigerator, then the person like, the milk that they go to grab, they slip and, you know, like nobody's really getting hurt, but like, oh, they slip. And of course their kid comes in and screams and then the dad runs downstairs. You know, there's all this sort of like chain
or
reaction.
Even the opposite.
Stuff.
Like, what if these people are prone to being very clumsy and you're trying to run like a business, like a haunted house for Halloween or something, like one of those silly ones, as people hurt themselves, that actually like reduces the amount of money that you make. So you're trying to get the biggest scares, but you're trying to like minimize
the safest scares.
People hurting themselves. So like you shouldn't startle people at the top of the stairs, or if there's like a spill on the ground, you should try to like be careful around that. So it's like trying to be scary, but at the same time being mindful of their safety.
So the narrative conceit is that I'm running a theme park or something, and we're trying to get the safest scares we can.
You know, like how in haunted houses, like the actors aren't supposed to touch you and stuff like that.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so you can't touch. That's cool. So maybe there's like an additional mechanic, the same way that you can put like after spin on a Tiger Woods golf ball. You could potentially have something where you are like able to say, okay, you're going to jump out and you're going to make a loud noise, or you're going to jump out and you're going to like get into a weird position or something. Like, weird positions can be scary. Like, how many scary movies are just like somebody spidering backwards around? Like, you do have these super talented, potentially actors that can just do whatever you command, really.
That's our 10 minutes. I feel like we're still kind of like running around the perimeter on this one, but I think we've got some interesting ideas in there. So I don't know how naming is going to work, but let's see if we can come up with something.
Let's go into the realm of like what would the proprietor of this haunted house be?
Maybe, yeah, it's something like
Dr. Scaresville or something.
Dr. Spookums. And
Spookums is pretty good. Spookums House of Horrors.
Doctor, we got to keep the doctor in there. Yeah, though. I feel like that legitimizes it.
I wonder if we have a running count of how many games we've added the word doctor to.
Well, if Mario can get away with it, then so can we.
For sure.
All right. Into my pitch today, I don't know exactly how this is going to work, but I was inspired by a couple of games. One of them is Audio Surf, which is one of the really early Steam games that I still really enjoy. You kind of load up any MP3 file into this game, and it basically like gives you a roller coaster full of there's like 3 to 5 tracks, I believe, of notes that are kind of like procedurally generated with like the taps of the drums or whatever. As you are playing through any song that you upload into the game, you're kind of collecting notes, and so it's very kind of like low stress type of game, but it's a good way to like experience music. Just because, you know, you're listening to music anyways, you might as well like ride a roller coaster that's based on that song. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool. I really like being able to just load up any song and play it as an Audio Surf level. And the other game I wanted to reference is Moshi Moshi, which is a top-down shooter. It's a 3-color game. There are enemies of each of those 3 colors, And in the from the center of the screen, each of the three colors kind of radiates from the center in kind of, so, you know, it's like circular shapes that kind of like expand from the center. And then, you know, as those approach the edge of the screen, the next color begins from the center of the screen. And so the whole conceit of the game is that as enemies are on the color that are on top of the color that they match, they become invisible because there's no distinction in the color anymore. So you can't hurt them, but they still exist, I believe, so they can hurt you, and their bullets are a different color. So essentially, like, all of the elements of the games are colored in one of these three colors, and based on the background that they are up against, they have different levels of effectiveness. So basically, it's a very complicated setup for what is a pretty simple game to get a hold of once you actually sit down and play it. So what I want to do is an overhead shooter that you can play on top of any video file. So your ship automatically sets itself to the opposite color of the space of the video that it's on top of, and you can shoot that color of bullets. There are enemies bouncing around the screen with color schemes kind of procedurally determined by the video. The game is kind of constantly getting a sense of like what colors are present in the video and coloring its enemies respectively. They're invisible and indestructible when they're hovering over similarly colored areas in the video below, but going between light and dark colored areas changes your color and the color of the bullets that you shoot, and so, you know, you have to take out light colored enemies with dark colored bullets and vice versa. So you got a little bit of like an Ikaruga thing going on as well. So it's a bit complicated. I don't know exactly how it's going to work with like videos that suddenly cut from one scene to the next. I think it would be like really useful if people want to like create custom stages of just like swirling colors that move around and they can kind of challenge their friends. But ideally, it would be really cool if you could just play it on top of like a movie or something. So you'd get people that would like, hey, I'm going to be playing this shooting game over the Naked Gun, and people could just like stream that on Twitch or whatever. I don't know. So it's a lot of ideas. I don't know how they're going to come together, but let's start the clock and see where that takes us.
Forgive me if the first X amount of this is going to be me parsing through some of these mechanics, but we're talking about you are able to kind of cruise around in like a spaceship sort of thing, an asteroid ship sort of thing. Mm-hmm. My weapons are absorbing the color of the footage behind me.
Yeah, so I haven't really determined. I think what makes the most sense to me is that just to make sure that your ship is always visible, you are the opposite color of whatever space you're on top of. And everything would kind of be like roughly lumped into like dark shades and light shades. So Okay. If you want to shoot an enemy that is a dark enemy, you have to be on top of a dark space. I don't know if that makes sense, because I guess then you could just be right next to it. I don't know.
So the footage is rolling, yeah. And mm-hmm. during that footage rolling, it's kind of like the level changing constantly beneath me,
right.
And I'm trying to get to the part in the video that is a particular color background so that my weapons take on the like power of the color.
Right. So then you can shoot enemies that are the opposite color.
Okay. Got it. And so the enemy's color is determined just by the general video period, or it's determined by the particular frame of the video?
Right. So within a scene, or, you know, the game kind of parses like color frequencies throughout the video. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, during a scene, there will be like maybe three or four colors that are prevalent. And it will just randomly set the enemies to be one of those three or four colors. And then as it kind of floats throughout the scene, you know, if it's a scene that's outdoors, then maybe it's like one of the colors is the color of the sky. Maybe one of them is green for the grass. And then kind of as these enemies float over these spaces, as they're moving around, they become invisible, or they become, you know, you're able to shoot them down based on what color you're firing at the time. So it's always kind of changing, and it's always trying to keep you on your feet.
So I guess my last question on this is just more, again, a clarifying question. It sounds to me like the bad guys are averaging. Is that right? They're like they're coming in with like an average color of the scene. They're not necessarily like transforming as they're flying over parts of the frame.
Right. So they are a set color that is determined to be of like high frequency. So, yeah, whenever they are on that color, they are invulnerable. And whenever they are off that color, they are vulnerable. And so if the scene changes and that color doesn't exist in the scene anymore, then like they're an easy target.
Got it.
But if it zooms into, like if it's a snow scene and they are white, then that is that's a dangerous proposition.
Yeah. So, okay. So now I'm imagining, for whatever reason in my head, this almost ends up feeling like Geometry Wars. Is that
right?
Is that about right? I'm thinking about like these things transforming and moving around. Is their behavior different per color? Like once the colors are mapped out, then
yeah,
we're also
like
so
I that works
cool.
Pretty well.
We map out, hey, this thing is going to behave this way because it's overlaid and, you know, such a color.
Mm-hmm. So essentially, like, I really want there to be like a Steam Workshop type thing where people can just upload these challenge courses, kind of like how people used to do with like Worms rope courses or something, where they just like draw something in Microsoft Paint. But you can create these kind of like swirling colors and lava lamp type of imagery that you can say, like, it's all procedurally generated, but based on the way that the shapes move and stuff, like, this is going to be a challenging course.
Got it. I think to make this thing more, I don't know if predictable is the right word that we're looking for, but I think one potential thing that could help, like, you start playing the video and then like almost overlaid on top of the video, you get like the pane of frosted glass that slides in.
Mm.
And therefore you can sort of fudge the colors and have them a bit blurred. And now you'll be in a situation where, like, cause there's so many like very fine, like a little pole or something in a scene, or potentially a small square that would be this color that wouldn't necessarily make it into the average colors of the scene.
I think that's fine though. Like if you kind of are able to track where an enemy is, maybe it's a close up on like an actor's face and the color of the enemy matches the skin color of the actor, but you know that like the actor has like a little like soul patch or something. And you know that the enemy, like based on your tracking of the enemy, is like bouncing in that direction. So like that soul patch is like your chance to blast away at it.
God, it's so interesting. Today is all about, we unintentionally made today about mechanics on Playwright.
So one of the challenges that I keep running into is that, like, so if you're loading up movies or something, then there is like shots and reverse shots that don't always like match color scheme wise. And it just seems, I don't know, it just seems like if things are always changing like so suddenly, then you're going to be kind of like, it's going to be really hard to predict what any enemy is going to be on top of. It's going to be, you know, your ship might be in a safe space one moment and then suddenly enter a danger zone in the next moment. I don't know. It sounds very difficult to kind of like keep track of everything.
Yeah, you may have to make a conceit of like you're going to give it a video file and it's going to play it in super slow-mo, or it's going to have to do something where it is like trying to manage those things, you know.
I mean, maybe
essentially
part of
slow down
the
action.
Though, like in AudioSurf, the quality of the experience is definitely affected very significantly by the type of song that you feed into it. And so you want to go with something that's like very dynamic, that has both like quiet, slow portions and like loud, fast versions. So something like Bohemian Rhapsody is going to make for a great AudioSurf track, whereas something that's like always intense all the time, like a Death Clock song, or something that's like always mellow all the time, like a Carpenter song, like, is just going to be a boring course. So it's more about like thinking through your video library and identifying what you think would be, what would make for an interesting experience, rather than the game like bending over backwards to try to, because I also want to make sure that like part of the appeal of audio surf is like getting to listen to music that you want to listen to anyways, just having something to do with it.
Got it.
So I feel if we like change the experience of watching it too much, then you kind of like lose that entertaining aspect of it.
Right. Okay. So we're just kind of surrender to the user. Surrender is a bold term, but we're going to let the content be the content.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, like, as I'm playing this sort of shooter thing, like, is there that bomb equivalent? Is there that, like, I need to clear the screen right now? Because that could be your solve. If you, like, essentially every time you change scenes or you detect enough changes of the frame, you could say, all right, why don't we just issue this person a clear or something?
I think, screen clear, that's pretty common in like overhead shooter types of games. I'm okay with including that. And maybe there's also something that inverts the color of the background. So if there is a snow scene and the enemy is white and just like you're having trouble tracking it, maybe you can like for a limited amount of time invert the colors of the background video. And so then this white enemy stands out because the entire screen has gone black at that point.
Okay. Here's a potential take on that. Let's say that there's a button that kind of the second that you go to pull your special ability, time kind of slows down. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And it slows down enough so that when you go and say, use one of these special abilities, the special abilities could actually be dropping down a big sort of area of color, almost painting some of the color temporarily into an area. You'd be like, okay, I'm going to drop down this like splotch of color over here. It's going to last for 30 seconds, but it'll guaranteed to be that color. And so that way you can kind of like push and control the board for yourself, and your power-ups can just be like applying color based.
That's funny. It reminds me of that software from like the 90s that people used to, like there were like multiple tools, like a hammer that you can use, and it would just like break your desktop as you clicked around. And there was a machine gun you can shoot your desktop. And
there's also some unintentional Mario Paint vibes coming off of me this. I'm just like thinking about the paint brush that would go and slowly grow out from the center of it.
Anyways, that's our time. Let's come up with a name for that. There's a movie called Videodrome, which I feel kind of fits what we're pitching here.
Videodrome is super good. I mean, do you want to tie it in with some homage and do like video surf or something?
Video surf? I like that. It's pretty fun.
From the not creators of Audio Surf, Video Surf.
From not them.
But we'll make the cool, not very small on the box.
We can go with that. Video Surf. I like that a lot. I really like the idea of any game that somebody can play on top of a porn video. I just like inside
lots
my
of
heart,
fleshy colors.
I find that to be very entertaining. to put out a software entirely innocently and just know in the back of your mind, like teenagers are going to teenager this one up.
Oh, for sure.
Let's get to a community pitch today. We're going to go back to our Twitter because we have a load of awesome pitches that y'all sent us over the past few weeks.
We have so many community pitches.
Yeah, we're swimming in them now, which is exactly how we like it.
In fact, I'll say this. By the way, community, we are getting all of your emails, and my goodness, thank you so much for reaching out so much. We've got a ton of ideas. We're going to be working through them in the coming weeks, and you will hear your pitch, we promise, and we'll get to them maybe in order, maybe not. I don't know how we do things. H is in charge, really.
Okay, so this pitch comes from Dodo at Dodo Hex on Twitter, who says, maybe an action RPG, which instead of blood, you have gold. And that's why everyone wants to kill you. It could also be how you buy things. You have to wait until your body makes more gold blood, which accumulates. I think we have a title already, which accumulates with playtime. Maybe you lose money when you get hit. All right, let's go ahead and start the clock on that one.
So I think this is really fun. One of the things I kind of was thinking is to tweak it immediately. The gold blood stuff, I think it would be really fun to like have to be hit and like collect your own blood. You know, the same way that, like, you get that feeling after being hit in Sonic the Hedgehog of, like, I need to get that ring back! Like, you start every level. Yeah, like, maybe there's no way to heal, right? So, you're just, like, you start every level full of gold blood. And you got to make sure that you have enough, like, buckets or whatever. Or there's stations where you can, like, drain your golden blood and craft them into coins to, like, permanently save money.
Well, let's say, okay, so I think the most interesting risk-reward aspect of this is that if your currency is also your HP, then as you're buying things, you are lessening your HP and making it more easy to kill you. So I would really like if there were like mid-level merchants, and let's say they had like a really powerful gun or something that you really wanted, but that was going to drain you like down to 10 HP. And then at that point, like it's just a couple hits until like you pick up enough like health packs or whatever to recharge, to refuel. And so, you know, you get this powerful weapon, but you got to kind of step carefully for a while. So you're always making this choice as to like, whether you want to be safe or whether you want to, you know, risk it all and get more powerful equipment. It's kind of a speedrunner ideal game in a way. Like once you master the systems, then you can pretty much like without any fear of retaliation, like go in and get the most powerful stuff because like, you know, you're pretty confident you can avoid getting hit.
That's interesting. So you almost have sort of a Spelunky-esque run-based thing happening where you're trading in. You're always a glass cannon, right? You start very tanky, but like with really terrible damage, and you can tweak yourself further and further down the spectrum, maybe in between levels, like or each opportunity to be like, how do you want to do that? You could like sell power-ups that you get for blood back in your system. But of course, if you've already bought something, you get that classic, like you're losing that economy if you really want to trade something in, but you could at a discount.
I would like if it's just, you know, one currency kind of operated the way that it does in like an old Doom or a Serious Sam game or something where there's just like health packs kind of scattered throughout the world, but they're sometimes a little tricky to find or a little hard to get to, or you don't know how long it's going to be until your next one. And so you're recharging whenever you find one, but, you know, at the same time, like that is both the currency and the health system.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me. So you are, okay, we'll say that you have is there any way to like, there's no way to gain more life, but is there a way to sort of walk back the power-ups?
Well, I mean, you are gaining more life as you're finding pickups.
Oh, and, like, okay.
So in the same way that like, in Doom, like if you get hit and you're down to low health, you can find pickups that recharge you like that. As you are finding these pickups, they are recharging like your one store of both health and currency because they're the same thing. So you could see that as, oh, phew, you know, I can take a few more hits when I'm fighting the next boss, or I could, you know, that's more I could spend on more powerful equipment.
So in that, I'm able to, like, per level decide, or I don't know if are you imagining level separation? Because I'm thinking, like, oh, in between levels is the time where I'm going to be like, oh, here's my pickup. It doesn't have to be in between. It could be just at, you know, Spelunky-style merchants scattered throughout the world.
I would like something like Dead Cells that feels a little bit sprawling, where, you know, you are, I love Dead Cells so much. That's the message I want people to take away from this. Now, that in Dead Cells, there are those portions in between levels where you make purchases and stuff, but there's also like the levels themselves are procedurally generated and are so sprawling that like you can explore one route until you find an exit. But once you find that exit, at that point, you kind of make a choice as to like whether you want to go back, explore all the areas that you've already come through to see if you missed anything, or you can just kind of say like, it's not worth the risk. Like there's enemies down that way. I could probably end up losing more than I can end up gaining. So I'm just going to take the exit now. And so I would like for these pickups to be like kind of hidden within the level in these kind of non-linear levels. And so, you know, you can choose to go back and find more, you know, gold blood, or you could, once you come to the end of the level, or once you come to a merchant, you can just say like, okay, I'm just going to forget about it. I'm going to keep pressing forward. It's not worth the risk of fighting more enemies to go back for it.
So if we're using Dead Cells as kind of our reference point, is there, do you imagine you are throughout all these levels slowly gaining more and more blood? Like, so you're always getting bigger, stronger, more powerful perpetually, or are you imagining there's sort of a reset in between the stuff that you're doing?
I think it makes more sense for it to be a perpetual gain, especially if this is like a roguelite type of thing, mm-hmm. where progress resets at the beginning of the run. Like the way that Dead Cells does it is that you're always getting more powerful and you're always fighting more powerful enemies. So it kind of scales up with you. But also in Dead Cells, like it's very easy to be outpaced by the scaling if you don't make good choices. So I always felt like that was a really good system where it's not like just even scaling like some of the Elder Scrolls games where as you enter a new area, the enemies are set to your level, because I always felt like that was a little boring. It's like it doesn't really feel like I'm getting any more powerful because the enemies always match me. But I do like in Dead Cells where if you make really good choices or get really good drops early on, then you can just like fly through the latter half of the worlds. Or if you get really bad luck or make bad choices, then you're struggling hardcore, like in the latter stages.
Do you like the idea of somebody kind of being able to dial themselves up into a, hey, look, I'm dead in two hits, but I'm killing everything in one
Absolutely.
Hit?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes this really fun. It's like my catchphrase on Playwright is like risk reward. Like if you're willing to risk it, then I'm willing to pay out, you know?
Yeah, I like the idea of being able to sit there and say, I'm going to opt in to just totally wrecking my own shop in order to
absolutely
push forward.
Yeah. So I guess we should pull back and say, like, what kind of game is this? Like the reference point of Dead Cells is a 2D Metroidvania platformer, but the reference points of like Serious Sam and Doom are 3D first-person shooters. Like, where do we want to take this? Because I feel like this could go in any direction. Like, maybe there's an aspect of the aesthetics that fits into kind of like a vampire mythology, because that makes sense with the whole like blood is currency, but also blood is life type of thing. I don't know. What kind of game do we want this to be?
It's interesting because Dead Cells is not quite a Metroidvania or a Castlevania-like. Mm-hmm. The way it feels at times is Castlevania-like. So
right.
What if you did map this into a Castlevania, just straight up the Metroidvania genre, said this is going to be, you're a vampire. The narrative conceit is that, the only way you can buy more power is with a pact of the vampire brethren, and of course the only payment that they want is blood. I guess like the tough part about a vampire is vampires could definitely acquire other people's blood. Although, is that what we want? Like potentially that's what you want. So the more blood you can drain from your enemies, the stronger
Maybe
you will become.
The enemies are also vampires and they don't have like useful blood in so much as like maybe there are NPCs kind of like in Vampyr, that recent game by the people who do Life is Strange. Sorry, I'm blanking on the name. Vampyr, where there are friendly NPCs that you can drain blood from to get some extra life currency. But then they are kind of like removed from the game because they're dead at that point. So, you know, if there's a shopkeeper that you don't see yourself visiting anymore because they're in a really out of the way area or you've bought all of their stuff, then maybe you can just chow down and get some more blood currency.
There we go. That's very Spelunky-like.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were a vampire, let's say that you could get blood from anything. Every time you get hit, you lose blood. You can suck blood out of people. But I think, like, if you did more of an original, here we go, Playwright bingo, players, pay attention. If you did a Legacy of Kain sort of system where you really have to kill a victim and then, like, as they're on their last legs, you have to take the time to, like, stand still and drink their blood. If you had Dead Cells, like, action happening around you, the mechanic of, like, just being able to stop to drink the blood would be kind of hard to pull off,
potentially,
right? You could say, hey, you can you can absorb, you can go drink as much blood as you want in a level, and it's all about how much blood you extract at the end of a level, like souls, that dictate how you're able to sort of upgrade when you're in between levels.
Well, let's close that down. Let's come up with a name and call it good on that one. So, yeah, what is it? What is the term that we keep using? Is it gold blood or blood gold? What was the...
I think gold blood is probably better.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a nice title for a game. I think it stands out, definitely. Anyways, thank you very much, Dodo Hex, for tweeting that at us. He did so by tweeting at PlaywrightCast. And there are other ways to get in touch with us. You can go and pitch your own video game idea to playwrightcast.com/pitch. Or you can email us, playwrightcast@gmail.com, and we will read them, discuss them on a future show. It may be a ways in the future because we are kind of stacked up for a while now, but that is excellent. We will get to it eventually, and you won't believe how quickly we'll go through the pitches that we currently have in the queue.
We will be begging you to contribute again in no time.
That's right.
Special thank you to Protodome for the use of our theme song, Hello World, off the album Blue Noise. And of course, go and check out the rest of the shows on the Kanan Rinse Network, where they review games, play game music, and interview game developers.
To take us out of the show, Q, why don't you give us a mini video game pitch?
How about a retro console game collection of games that never actually ever existed?
As long as we can sell one of those little plastic things in stores, then it's fine with me.
We will. We're rich.
That'll do it. Now we just got to make 50 brand new retro games. Cool. We'll see you next week, everyone.
Bye.